Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Rehm McCaffrey.
Hi, I'm Santia. How are you, Ruth Ann?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
We have some special guests today, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So we have Nancy Rebecca.
Hello.
And Yvonne Kilcup.
Hello.
From Intuitive Mind. And Yvonne and I are going to sit back in the background, and Ruth Ann's going to take the hostess seat and ask Nancy some questions about transformation. So I'll hand it over.
Great. Thanks, Santia. Well, we're really, really excited to have you here, Nancy, today.
Thank you.
And Yvonne, you as well. Because we have been thinking that giving our guests, listeners, a chance to hear some of the wisdom from other great people in our community would be an important gift that we could pass along as well. And so, Nancy, would you begin by telling us a little bit about the kind of work that you do? And then we'll go into talking about your ideas about transformation or transitions.
Great. Thank you, Ruth Ann. It's one of my favorite subjects. My background is as a registered nurse. I worked intensive care and as a hospice nurse for a little over 20 years. And it was during my time as a hospice nurse that I actually had a spontaneous out-of-body experience. And you can read a little bit more about that story on our website. But it was in the early 90s. I had the out-of-body experience. And what happened when I returned back into my body was that suddenly I could see and experience energy fields, see other spirits. I could hear telepathic thoughts as someone was talking to me. I could actually hear what was going on in their mind. And so, of course, it was quite a frightening experience for me at the time, and I have since used the form of meditation as a way to really help me get centered at that time, get centered back into my life, and began working with the tool of meditation. And so now Yvonne and I both have a full-time practice in University Place. We've had the office since 1998. And we use our background as registered nurses to help facilitate healthy energy fields as well as educate people about meditation and keeping their energy field in balance and being more conscientious about their daily choices in life.
Okay, so you've definitely had your own major transformation, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, I have.
All the daily ones that continue to just happen all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we think about the experience of transition or transformation, what is it that you see, or how do you see just all of us who haven't had the intense experiences that you've had, how do you see us being able to engage more consciously in doing that?
Well, I love that word, engage. That's turned out to be a really big word for me, especially this last year. To what exactly does that mean? What I know, before I had my out-of-body experience, my husband was in the police department, I was a registered nurse, I had a son, I had a daughter, working just like everyone else is, trying to provide rich experiences as a family, and really burning the candle at both ends. And I know my life wasn't any different than anyone else's. I think it was just that situation of how I coped with life. And I didn't know that there were other choices. So I choices as far as how to experience day-to-day life.
Okay.
When I look back on it now, it was having life done to me rather than me being in charge of my life.
Okay.
Seemed to be the main difference. And I talk about that difference of sitting in the back seat of the car and having life drive me versus now where I am in my life. I sit in the driver's seat of my car and I make the choices as to where I'm going to turn at the next intersection.
Okay. Sometimes I've had clients when I'm working with people who are in transition and life transition in my office describe the feeling of they might be in the driver's seat, but it's like they're driving in fog and it's at night and they've got headlights. but they can't see very far ahead, and it's not a comfortable situation at all. So in a way, it's like you describing being in the driver's seat with daylight and no fog, and it's being able to have a way to see and have perspective so that the choices are more, you can be more confident about the choices.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not always crystal clear for me either. What I can tell you is the difference is now, because I use meditation as that form to help me maintain my seat behind the driver's wheel. But when it is foggy, there are times where it's like, if we're going to use the analogy of the car, you just sit there then. Even if the light turns green, sometimes I just sit there a little longer, pull off the side of the road, increase my meditation time. Sometimes the light turns green. I can feel this kind of pull to move forward, but I don't know what's going to happen. And that's where trust and faith come in.
Okay. Well, and that's what I, in our podcast, when Santi and I have been talking over so many wonderful times together, it's helping people build trust in themselves and confidence so that as we're asking ourselves to make choices for little things and big things, that we have some process that will give us a good feeling that at least if there's any chance of this turning out well, that that everything that could possibly make it turn out well has been done.
Yeah, and it's fascinating because having life done to you or feeling like you're in the tides of the water and you're in a riptide and you're being carried out to sea, that is a recognizable form of transition and recognizable form of transformation in your life.
Right.
Because then the next time you go to get in the water, well, you're going to check the tide tables next time and maybe you won't go out so far. And so that really is a valued way of learning. But when it happens over and over and you just keep getting in the riptide over and over and over again, you're not making different conscious awake choices of saying, well, the last time that happened, it didn't turn out so hot. If you're not doing that, then you do just spin wheels in life.
Well, and what you're talking about too then is learning from what happens to you.
Yes.
And being and storing up that learning so that it can be a part of the next decision. So we're not just over and over and over doing the same old thing, getting the same old result, dragged out to sea.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless we want to be dragged out, which I wouldn't want to.
Yeah. Well, the beauty about meditation is that I always tell my students that you do have choices. You can learn through life experience by going to the grocery store, going for a walk, you're at work and you don't get along with somebody in the cubicle next to you. All of those processes are learning and really helps develop consciousness and wisdom. The great part about meditation is that when you go into meditation and you find that quiet place, the parts that aren't quiet or maybe disruptive, what we call kind of the choppy waters, all of a sudden those start to calm and fall away. And then when you finish your meditation, you go out in life, you have that calm energy field, then you tend to attract calmness around you.
Okay.
So if I want to use the analogy of the riptide in the water, then when you're meditating on a regular basis, what I have experienced is that I'll tend to attract sunnier skies and calmer waters and no tides that are going to carry me off.
Right. Are there other practices that you could say exist that would be maybe not exactly equivalent to meditation, but can somebody do something else other than meditation to find this quiet place?
Well, and that's also a great question. Yvonne and I have worked with thousands of people, and absolutely, exercise is a really good one. It can really help you to release some unsettling emotions or just feeling overwhelmed. You go out for a simple walk, it can really help to ground you more and release some of the agitation that might be in your field. Doing anything like yoga, music, and art, and all of those things can assist. However, we have worked with so many different people from different walks of life who do use different forms. There's nothing that really beats meditation on a regular basis.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be much. It, as simple as 10 to 15 minutes a day can be enough to really help you to shift and be more aware. Plus, there's that creative process that and that intuitive process that is found in those quiet places inside.
Right. Well, then what we, if we could encourage people to find time to do that meditation, it would be really a gift for them, wouldn't it, in so many ways?
Well, yeah, meditation really in the dictionary means to self-reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we just take time in any interaction that happens, let's talk about that coworker in the cubicle next to you. And every time you come in, they make annoying noises, or they're always trying to overmanage you, or trying to tell what you're doing is not right and what they're doing is right, whatever it is. And we just get annoyed every day. But if you just take even a few minutes to kind of self-reflect and say, what's my part in this? What mm-hmm. is my role in this? And how can I shift things? And absolutely, sometimes it may be going to the boss to ask to move to another office. But many times it can be like engaging differently with the person and saying, well, I'm going to change my side and let's see what happens.
Right. That's cool. Well, what about the idea when we were talking beforehand, before our podcast, you were talking about the importance of intention. And so what would be the reason that intention is so important in this?
Well, intention, what the word means is that you have a thought and action follows. And so when I talk about transition or transformation, it's really shifting energy or experience from one form to another. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a good form. You can intend, I just wish that person would just go away, or they make me so mad, I just wish they would die, or just all kinds of things like that. Actually, when you have those intentions, the action and the energy actually follows that thought. But even for yourself, I'm not good enough to do that.
Right.
That in actuality, the form from a very uplifting and creative and hope-filled, joyous form, when you start thinking, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, starts transforming and transitioning into a more contracted, less productive form.
Oh, okay.
And so intention is very important to start off saying. And many times I will say, I really want to do this. I don't feel very confident about it. So I'll admit that, but my intention is to get more confident.
Okay.
And so I always try to set that intention about where is it that I want to be in this.
Do you do that on a daily basis for I want my whole day to be like this? Or do you set the intention for each thing that you do?
Well, yeah, we're in human form.
Right.
However, yes, in the morning when I get up and I meditate, many times I'll try to focus on just my day's activities. So let's say I'm going to be in the office seeing clients. My intention might be to remain very grounded, centered, and present for each client that comes in. That's my intention. I want to be present, not distracted. So I may set a small intention that way, but then I may look at my schedule for the month and know that I have a class coming up to teach, or maybe I'm giving a talk, and how I want that to go. So for example, I gave a talk at a local health food store on Thursday evening, and my intention all week was that I want to engage. I want to be engaging.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel approachable. I want people to feel as if they can really relate to what I'm saying, even though I'm talking about really far out things.
Okay.
And so I set that intention, and that's exactly what happened.
Mm, okay.
People came up afterwards and said, I feel like I know you. I feel like you're my friend. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could relate. I really think differently now about energy. I'm not as afraid. You made it feel comfortable.
Right. Okay. So that would be something that everybody could do mm-hmm. on a daily and even bigger basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm thinking of some examples recently, like in the news when Nelson Mandela passed. Of course, there were lots of shows about his life and the transformation that he went through when he was in prison and the amazing man that emerged from that experience. Not perfect, but nevertheless an amazing man. And what is it that we can take from learning about those people who have been able to overcome unbelievable experiences and emerge on the other side as somebody that really is making a difference in the world? Because there's only one Nelson Mandela, and the chance that any of us would do that, I mean, we're not going to be him, but we can be the best us that we can be. So how can we?
Yeah, well, it's quite fascinating. Yvonne and I were actually in South Africa in the year 2001, 2002. We'd gone over there to visit, and then we returned in 2003 and lived there for a year. So it was actually only about 6 years after apartheid had ended. Wow. And we never got to meet him, but we heard beautiful stories over and over again. The part that fascinates me is he experienced a lot of tragedy, a lot of death in his family, to include children and grandchildren, and just a lot of loved ones being jailed. And what he said was that he had a lot of hatred in his heart. He had a lot of rage and a lot of anger, and that he really did wish ill upon his enemies. And then one day he just knew that he couldn't continue to live like that. And so he set the intention. And what he said was, "But they can't take my heart and they can't take my soul."
Mm-hmm.
And he said once he made that intention, that he would always be in charge, like that driver's seat
okay.
of his heart and soul. That's when things began to shift. He kept setting the intention, come back to my heart, come back to my soul. Something else would happen. Another bomb would go off, another botched election, and then he'd come back to my heart and my soul.
Mm.
And every time he set that intention, he would come back to center, and then he was able to come from that wise place that
right.
he had inside.
Well, and all of us can come back to our center, can't we?
Yes.
By making that intention.
That choice.
That
yep.
choice.
Yeah.
Nancy, what a treasure to have you here. Thank you so much for being with me
Thank
today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, this has been really an amazing conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for being our first guest.
That's right.
And if you'd like to get more information about the work that Nancy and Yvonne do, please go to www.intuitivemind.org. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Rigoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robrigoni.com.